You have questions about what's impacting the healthcare system, from pandemics to products, we have answers. Welcome to Banner Aetna, Workplace in Focus. And now, here's your host, Banner Aetna Market Head of Sales, John Dingledine.
Welcome back to another edition of Banner Aetna, Workplace in Focus. We're all aware of the challenges we faced in Arizona and the U.S. over the past few months with the COVID-19 pandemic as it continues to surge.
Today's guest, Dr. Sven Jungmann, provides insights into how other parts of the world is dealing with the pandemic. I was fortunate enough to meet Sven at a graduate program we participated in at Stanford University, and I'm excited to hear him share how the pandemic has impacted his home country, Germany.
Sven, we're glad you're here and excited to hear what you have to say.
Thank you very much for having me. It's really exciting, and hi to everybody from Berlin and Germany.
Yep, terrific. So Sven, what is, just an overview, what has the COVID-19 pandemic been like in Germany?
Yeah, there were different phases, and I'm sure it's different for different parts of the country, but I can certainly speak for Berlin. I think you have to understand where Germany is coming from. So ever since the war, it has been quite a peaceful country, but we also lived for Cold War times, and we're really, really proud of all the freedoms that we have. So these days, you can walk to France, nobody's going to check your passport, you can travel freely for all of Europe and work anywhere. The German passport is the one that gives you access to most countries in the world. And suddenly, for the first time ever since, we realized that this is not something we should take for granted, because suddenly borders were closed, or if you would travel to Israel, you would be quarantined for 14 days. The borders to Poland were completely shut down. And you would have trucks piling up over miles and miles of just trucks, so that aid organizations had to come and feed people and give them water supplies and so on. So that was a shocking realization, I think. At the same time, in the early phases, people were quite afraid. So you would have a lot of people purchasing toilet paper on end or pasta. After a while, I think things got a bit calmer. People started to get bored a little bit. We really trust our government, and we really trust Merkel, who made very clear announcements. And I think people were following it really well. So that certainly helped. But then, you know, people went out on the streets, met up for a beer like Germans do. With the right appropriate amount of distance, and had kind of a new normal reality, and a lot of new friendships were made, because suddenly you would meet in the parks and people could mingle a little bit again with the distance. Sometimes police had to remind us, but generally things were really friendly. So I had a friend, she was sitting in a park, and then a police officer comes up and says, madam, you know, you're not allowed to sit in the park, you have to do sports if you want to move around. And she goes, oh, do you want me to run away from you now? And he said, no, it's fine. You can also walk. Some people consider that a sport. I don't care. But sitting certainly isn't one as far as I'm concerned. And so I think things went really friendly and nicely in the beginning. Another thing that surprised me positively was to see how we helped each other. So German hospitals would suddenly take patients from Italy who flew in. We would try to share masks wherever we could. This could all have gotten better, I think, but it was at least a beautiful sign, I find.
Interesting. So it sounds like there's a couple surprises that have come out of all this. Yep. So what kind of maybe lifestyle changes or some other things that have changed or that maybe have surprised you that didn't occur in the past?
Right, interesting question. I think one thing that really surprised me was what we call the rise of the everyday entrepreneurs. So people who discovered there's a problem in our neighborhood. We elderly people can't properly go and buy groceries, so let's help them. Or somebody is quarantined, let's make sure that they get all the supplies that they need. And they would set up neighborhood WhatsApp groups. There was a big initiative to help fight domestic violence through an app and so on. So this was quite nice. I work in the healthcare sector, and I also found that people were redefining innovation generally. So there's one pharmaceutical company that always thought, you know, for us, innovation is pharmaceutical engineering, creating new drugs. And now they realize, well, actually, the big innovation must happen in the supply chain so that we can make sure people get what they need. That was quite quite impressive, I find. And I think the scientific community suddenly started to collaborate much more than they previously would, because they had a different sense of urgency and competition didn't matter quite as much as achieving something for society. We had businesses helping hospitals. Decathlon, which is a retailer of sports outfits, they donated some of their diving masks to an Italian hospital or to a French hospital, I think, to make sure that they could stay protected as an experiment, at least. I think those were some of the biggest changes I saw. On a personal level, I think we communicated much differently. So we ended up cooking virtually over Zoom. I suddenly had friends from Washington and from California join a dinner virtually with people from Cologne and from Berlin and so on. And really good friendships came out of this.
That's a great outcome of all this. So, you know, you're uniquely positioned in the fact that you are a medical doctor, so you have that expertise, but you also have a passion around digital technology and innovation. So when you think about the healthcare system, the German healthcare system, what are the biggest changes that you've observed or that maybe you're expecting in the German healthcare system as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. So I truly believe that COVID didn't change things quite as much as it maybe accelerated it or made some things more obvious. So the German healthcare system has been frustratingly reluctant to adopt new technologies for a long time. And a year and a half ago, a new health minister started, and he has been instrumental in changing the way we go about adopting digital technology. So he created a new law, which is called the Digital Care Act, where now insurance companies have to pay for apps that add benefits to patients. There are criteria to this. But this is quite new, and he did many other things to really move forward. And so it was already going into that direction. But when I was working as a doctor, it was often quite frustrating. I had to see patients who were getting chemotherapy, and we made them come in using public transport, where they're exposed to germs, coming into the hospital, relatives took a day off. And then I drew blood and found out that we couldn't give them the next chemo today, and they would have to come in, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, you choose. And I can't guarantee that it will work this time. And then they were in the hospital again, exposed to potential germs, which doesn't have to be. And now suddenly, with COVID, everybody embraces telemedicine. I had doctors approach me asking if we could help them set up things. And you could just see how suddenly they really saw the need for it. So I think in general, for what it's worth, I think it helped us drive innovation faster and get more buy-in from it. We also had a surprising event. So Germany, as some of you might know, Germans are really afraid of sharing their data. It's probably because of our history with quite some oppressive states. There's a general mistrust in putting anything in a cloud. But with COVID, the government created a new app that had 11 million downloads within just 2 weeks. And our total population is 80 million. So that was very significant. And had you asked me in December, I would have said, well, probably 5 people would download this. And in other countries, it didn't work quite so well. So I could see that because we have very strict data protection rules and because people trust our government and saw the need, they would do something that, again, like half a year, nobody would have believed that so many people would do it in Germany.
So in Germany, as a result of the pandemic, what I hear you saying is people were more willing to share data on this app, which would be things like their location and some other things, right?
So actually, the clever bit is it doesn't share your location. All it does is if you have been in contact with somebody else, so they just exchange numbers. And then if the other person turns out to have COVID, you will get notified, but they don't need to know where you were. Otherwise, it wouldn't fly in Germany.
Yeah, that would be a little too much, I can imagine. But clearly, it's people helping people in the middle of what is clearly something that we're all challenged with. So that's good to see. Sort of along those lines, there are many people talking about a new normal being experienced. What degree do you think the pandemic is driving this change or will drive this change? And what do we need to do to make sure that the right changes are made to our healthcare system?
Oh yeah, that's something that we discussed a lot and thought about a lot as well over here. So the big term, I'm sure you've heard that in the US a lot as well, was we need to flatten the curve. And what they meant was keep your social distance to avoid you or other people being infected, because we need to make sure that there is enough slack capacity or surge capacity in the hospitals so that we don't run into a situation where we don't have enough ventilators or not enough intensive care beds for those who are in need. And I think going forward, we need to redefine what it means to flatten the curve. For me, it's twofold. One is most of the people who had to go into the intensive care unit were people who had a lot of chronic diseases, and most of them are preventable. So could we maybe move away from a situation where we always need to cure towards where we invest much more resources in trying to prevent? And in doing so, we have a healthier population that is much more able to stomach things like a COVID pandemic. And we don't even need to talk about keeping the ICU beds. The second dimension, I think, is smoothening supply and demand. So some hospitals were overcrowded and others had two complete ICU units empty. And we didn't know where the next peaks were coming because we were in the beginning not very good at collecting the same amount of data, at standardizing and all of it. So I think we could use more of the sort of digital platforms to better understand where we need to put in all of our efforts to flatten curves. And the second question you asked is, what do we need to get there? So I think that regulation plays an important role. For us, the Digital Care Act that I mentioned earlier, I think has a great potential. And I would invite other policymakers to think about doing something similar, where sort of developing digital technologies also ends up creating a good revenue stream for you so that it's worth the investment. But there are more things to do, right? I think regulators need to step up to improve data interoperability standards and make sure that we measure the same things. So, you know, in some hospitals, if you would get tested twice to get a confirmation test, that would count as two cases. In another one, it was per person. In other countries, they wouldn't even measure unless they really thought this is a very high likelihood of an infection. Okay. And so on and so on. So we need to get better at harmonizing these things if it's a global problem.
So you mentioned flattening the curve. And one thing that we experienced here in the United States is, you know, we saw a spike in many parts of the country. The curve flattened a little bit. And now there's a kind of a second spike, if you will, or what we're calling some hotspots. Can you give us some context on what Germany went through? Did you have one spike and it flattened, or a couple different spikes, or what does that curve look like as you talk about flattening the curve?
Yeah. So we have like the US, we have a federal system, right? Where these individual states, they're not as big as the American states, but they have quite some independence on how they can manage things. So the federal government gives recommendations. In some cases, they insist on things, but in many cases, they leave it up to the local authorities. So you would see some differences, and they were closely analyzing what works and what not, like should we open schools or not, and really trying to make right. as many learnings as fast as possible. And then there are some cultural differences. Or regional differences. There was one incident where a lot of people went to Austria to go skiing, and this was a huge hotspot for an outbreak. And then these people would travel back to Germany and spread it over there. We got really lucky because Cologne loves carnival, and thousands of people took to the streets to party. And it was already known that COVID was out, and they just didn't care because they never would care. Come what may, they're going to party on the street on carnival. And somehow nothing happened. Nothing happened. They got lucky. I guess there's always a degree of luck. But I think what went really well is Merkel stood up. She said, this is the biggest challenge we have since World War II. I'm going to be very frank. She made no lies. She was very science-based. She's a physicist. So, you know, she has this very dry German attitude to it. And we know that every word is very well thought through. And people knew exactly what to read into it. And it was very clear that we have to all be responsible now and sort of stay away for a while. And so that worked extremely well.
Okay. That makes sense. Final thoughts, Sven. Is there a final thought or two that you'd like to leave our audience with?
I'm very pleased that I have the chance to speak to Americans. And I know that your country has two big challenges at the moment that you're facing at the same time. I was reflecting on that. I had the opportunity of coming to the States a few times when I was a teenager, and then last year going to Stanford for a really nice program. And I have to say that there's something that really changed me as a person that I learned from America, and something that I think is extremely important for you as you go through these crises as well. And that is, to some degree, especially with COVID, a lot of the conversations people had now were around technology. How can technology help us solve these problems? But we must not forget one thing, and that's, in the end of the day, these technologies are all important, but we have to keep in mind the ultimate purpose of it. And the ultimate purpose, on my view, is to foster strong human connections and to help each other and to be there for one another. And if technology can help us do that, that's great. But for me, I think I often find the American culture being quite emotional on one side, which is, I think, a very good thing. And on the other hand, very supportive of one another, very positive. And I think that as you go towards defining your new normal, I would recommend that you sort of go back to that and remind yourself of this. It is a great nation. It has solved many other challenges. And I'm sure with this core spirit, if you can rekindle it, you will come out stronger out of this.
Terrific. Hey, Sven, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us today and sharing your thoughts, the perspective that you've given us on how another country has faced with the various challenges on COVID has been interesting and very refreshing, and we greatly appreciate your time. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Banneret and a Workplace in Focus. Tune in 2 weeks to hear from another exciting guest and get more insight into the issues impacting your health, healthcare, and your daily life. I'm John Dingeldine. Stay safe and have a great couple of weeks. Thanks.
You've been listening to Banner Aetna, Workplace in Focus. Learn more at banneretna.com.